I just see a vision of a heart rate monitor in a hospital that was flatlining and just the beeps coming back to hearts. So God, I just speak and prophesy that over your church. The bigger church, Lord, in Cape Town. Your bride, I just speak, God, for the heartbeat to return to where your bride is flatlined. I pray for individuals today, Lord, there where the heartbeat comes back by the grace of God. We thank you for that through your Spirit. If God has given you a clear vision or a prophetic word, you're welcome to come and share.
While we were at Convergence, we were praying for this year, and it's really like a very significant time in the Spirit, and we need to stick close to God. And I saw God standing and opening his garment for us to run in under his garment and be safe, be with him. And it was like a fraction of the time he opened it and people could run in, and then he closed it again. And it's for us to recognize and it's just really an urgency that I felt, like to recognize when he's opening, to come in under his cover, to come in under his wing. And I was just thinking of Psalm 78, where God says, like a hen wanted to gather her chicks, but you didn't want to come. It's like it's our choice. Do we want to go? Do we want to go in under God's covering, under his wing? And I just felt to share that this morning, that be alert to what God is doing. Listen, heed. Let's open our ears in the Spirit to know when to come close, when to draw close to God. It is time to draw close.
Yeah, I just want to agree with that word. I just got a picture of, reminded of Jericho and where the Israelites were walking around Jericho 7 times, but in the process they needed to be quiet, not complain, and they needed to be obedient to God. And what Edna's speaking about, it's that choice. We have a choice to listen or not to listen. And if we listen, walking around 7 times, the walls will fall. It doesn't matter how great it is or how small. But you need to come.
I saw a picture, I didn't really know what it meant until Stephen spoke. A tsunami is a giant big wave that comes and it brings destruction and kills and it destroys. And I feel like sometimes we expect God to come in and just take things away, but God's not like that. He's not a big wave that's going to come and take things from us. He's a gentle stream. Comes and washes us clean, and it's our choice if we let our stream come into our hearts and to purify us and to clean us out. We must allow him to come in. Like Stephen said, it's our choice.
As a family, we had communion this morning, and just strongly felt that we should pray for our family's protection, and we had communion, and this was a scripture that we prayed. Whoever dwells in the shadow of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust.
Yeah, just I was reminded this morning of something that Pratif shared about us as a church coming into a new season. And while we were singing or worshiping about the kingdom of God, I just felt that God is ushering in his kingdom in our midst. And something that he wants to do in this season, this next season, this new season, is he wants to, it says, his kingdom is a kingdom of power, not just of words. I remember there was a scripture that said, referred to people, and it said they've got a form of godliness, but there's no power. they deny the power of God. And I felt that God, in this local church, God's found people that's hungry for His Spirit and hungry for His kingdom. And a fruit of that would be the increase of His power. And it's not for us to look great, or, you know, it's for God, in order for God to fulfill that purpose that He has for us as a group of people in this part of or this part of Cape Town, or in Cape Town in general. So I felt that as we seek the kingdom of God in this time, expect God's manifestation of His power to be revealed, and not to be afraid of that, or not to feel like, oh, you know, it's going to put attention on me. Just give it back to God, and He will then give us the power to fulfill that which He's called us to do.
I agree. May that be so.
I just want to agree with that Etna brought. This morning I was reading the Bible, and I just felt like I should just open my heart, and I just be ready to receive what God has, and to go and take it, because it's not just going to come to us. There's an enemy, so I just want to, I feel like God is moving, and like all of them said now, and He is ready to perform His word, and He is already performing it, but we must receive it, and we must go and take it.
Amen. Yeah, I disagree. Thank you, Father, for speaking through your saints. We appreciate it, and we choose to take heed to your voice. Remind us, Spirit of God. And help us to make the right choice. In Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you for that. No, it's just clear that God is saying that we're in a season that there's a choice that He holds before us. I believe it's maybe one of the most sensitive seasons spiritually, maybe of mankind. Who knows? Only one day we'll know. But may God grace us with His ability to make the right decisions. Something that comes to the fore the whole time. God is busy pruning, cleansing, cleaning. And then also it's a season of great change. But God doesn't need a multitude. He doesn't need hundreds of people. He can use three diligent people that hearken their hearts to his word. He can use five. He can use ten. Need not 2,000. And just as they were sharing, I just saw the threshing floor. And I believe it's maybe also a season where God is He's suffering out between the wheat and the chaff. He's bringing a cleansing. I just want to encourage you guys, let's just keep on holding our hearts before the Lord. Just in your inner room, just how you hold your heart before the Lord. And trust that He will fulfill His purposes for you in this season. And I also have a sneaking suspicion that we can grant ourselves very privileged to be in this season and also part of what God is doing. I was just so reminded last night and this morning, I face a bit of pressure now and again, but I was just so reminded of the privilege that we have, what we have here today, the presence, the fresh bread, I believe, of God's presence. We're privileged. So yes, Lord, just have your way. May we heed to your voice, Lord, in whichever shape, form, or size it comes. May we acknowledge and see, Lord, in love, as you have your way, in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't want to stop. In the same vein, before we try to squeeze in a very long sermon in a very short time. I just also sense that that scripture just rammed out in my heart this week, where Christ has said in the Gospels that blessed is he who is not offended by me. I just realized out of scripture again that God says that my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. So if we say God is busy, God is moving, God is doing stuff, God is changing, bring forth change, let us just keep our hearts humble before him. And when he does something in your life, when he speaks into your life, when he brings forth change, or he challenges you, he propels you into something bigger, smaller, larger, huger, taller, whatever the case may be, whenever he does, just be open for him, and don't be offended with what he does. Who's ever been offended with something that God's done in their lives? There is the challenge. So, just humbly in love, I just say, hey guys, let's just be aware that it is such a season, and as we make the right decision, I believe it's going to have a massive echo in the spirit. Not only for you and your family, but for generations to come. There's not many left, but for those to come, it's going to have a massive effect. Sure. Lord, help us just to fathom what you're doing, what you're saying, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a massive privilege just to share the Word of God with you guys. I really wrestled through this one this week. You guys know the story. I'm not going to recap too long. But God just laid Matthew 6:33 on our hearts at the beginning of the year. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Bottom line is that catchphrase, seek first, just do that. And accordingly, we just want to be a people. And as you've seen this morning in worship or in the words that came to the fore, we just want to be a people that seeks God's kingdom first. Stephen had a vision this morning in intercession of people just dragging old fish along, or a fish along with them. And it's still out there for interpretation, but the thing that just came up in my mind was that for the disciples to could wholeheartedly follow Christ, to be disciples, they had to leave what behind? Everything. Dirk says. So, everything. They had to leave everything behind, including the fish. In fact, in you know the Gospels, there was a massive catch, the biggest catch ever that they just caught. Somebody had to help, another boat had to help drag it onto the shore. And have you noted that very small part there? That they left that massive catch. The one that they freaked out about, that massive catch, they left and followed Christ. They did not take any fish along. And so that can speak of a lot of things. It can speak of the old ways. It can speak of your culture. It can speak of material things. It can speak of emotional things. It can even speak of people, of your previous life or lifestyle before the Lord. But Christ is calling us in this season to be true disciples. You say, I leave the fish behind. It's just going to rot in me. It's just going to give a stench that's not the gospel. So, yes, Lord, may we heed. So we've been talking about seeking first. There was a couple of keys. We're not going to repeat all of them. First one was wisdom. Second one, we had to look at the kingdom, what the kingdom is. We know it's not a literal geographical place. It's a spiritual place. There's just a scripture there. And then we looked at the king and the kingdom, saying if you want to see the kingdom come, you need to know where the king is and what he's doing. What was his mandate? We know that Jesus Christ was our king, and henceforth we need to act and react the way he does. In fact, we are ambassadors of Christ. You know that Philippians says that, but we are citizens of heaven. So we needed to just ask God to just come and just touch our minds. Lord, where do we come from? Where do we fit in? Who's our king? How does he operate, and how do I follow him? If he's my king and I'm from a different kingdom, how can I be an ambassador? So I believe God is speaking through the Spirit and the Word into your hearts in this season, how to be a true ambassador. And then Petri shared with us last week and so diligently just went so much deeper, like a teacher can, and said that the kingdom of God is at hand. Now today, my kingdom key that God just gave me, as we unpack this catchphrase of seek first, is fresh bread. Each and every day of our lives, whatever we do, there should be a seek first principle as a Christian, as a disciple of God, to seek first fresh bread every day. Now, I've used bread as an example before, and we've also touched on this because I love the analogy of just saying physical food and spiritual food. There's a great comparison. There's a great parallel to draw there. And sometimes people are like, wow. And it's not wow at all. It's not rocket science. It's actually quite obvious, but I counsel and I see a lot of people, some of you, even a lot of other people. There's guys that I can, by the grace of God, Skype with that Bates in other countries that I just walk a discipleship road with, not very tightly because it's difficult, but even there, the one thing that I note always is when the wheels come off spiritually, you've just neglected the basics. It's not like the devil has just knocked you over with this great thing that nobody's ever seen in their life. Christ never... He never faced such a thing in his life, and it just came and it knocked you off God's hand. Now, that rarely happens. It's very often just the basics not in place. my life, in Edna's life. We know that. It's the place where I challenge her and she challenges me. That when the wheels come off, they have before, twice, three times a day. No, not a day. But it does come off now and again. Then we just need to quickly touch base and just say, but is the basics there? What is the basics? Just physically, if you stop eating, then what? You fall over and die. What is the basics of survival these days for a Western South African like ourselves? What is it? Wi-Fi? That's quite... WhatsApp? Yo, WhatsApp's quite a big one. Flat whites? Flat whites. Who can live without a flat white? Double. A braai. That is an essential. Any other essentials for living? Guitar? No. Tea? No, man, that's not an essential. Tea... Hey, good meat. Yes, good to meet you. Good meat. We need good meat. No, that's all tongue in cheek. Obviously not. The things that we need to survive is water and food, shelter, to a big degree. But in South Africa, you can actually, sadly, we can see that people come around without good shelter many a times. Sadly, sad as it is. But you need to drink water and you need to eat some food. Bread is a good thing. Bread is something good to eat to stay alive. Otherwise, you perish and you die. And it's just beautiful how God just gave us that picture. And simply as that, I believe, if you're a born-again Christian, if you're given your heart, you've been born again, you need to be fed, both physically and spiritually. You need to look after your physical body, but especially your spiritual body. Unfortunately, we've been sucked in by our culture to such a degree that sometimes we neglect this thing. I chat to guys that's been with the Lord for 14, 15, 20 years, and it might happen that they don't even have a time with the Lord or in the Word in a whole week. Some people 2 or 3 weeks. And this is not a thing of condemnation, but if you stop, and I've said it before, if you stop eating for 3 weeks, how are you going to feel? If you don't take in any water or any food for 3 weeks, it might be quite good for me, but for you, how would that be? And likewise, I've seen it so many times. We need to eat. Now, what is this bread? Obviously, it is our King again. It's just amazing. How much ever we chat about seeking first, Christ is just in the forefront. He's the Alpha, He's the Omega. He's the beginning of the message, He's the end of the message. It's just so amazing how God has just compacted everything in His Son. He is truly the way, the truth, and the life. And so, the bread today you'll see out of Scripture is Jesus Christ. If you do not have a bit of Christ, a bit of Jesus Christ every single day, I'm going to see it in your life, Johan. Luckily, I can see you do take in a fair amount of spiritual bread, and I note that. But guys, you will know in my life, if Chris sees me quite often, he'll note if I've not had any spiritual bread. So today, it's just saying, Lord, let's take a bit of stock. Am I taking in the right amount? Don't think gluten now, please. Don't think banting. It'll just screw with my sermon. Don't. We're talking spiritual bread. There's no gluten in Christ. He is banting. Spiritually. That's just a joke, everybody. Let's come back. Thank you, Demi. But we need to eat some of Christ every day. John 6 is the best scripture to look at, and you all know it. Let's have a bit of context. John 6, we've actually dealt with all the stories, or most of the stories in John 6 lately. And it's a place where the Spirit is hovering with us as a church. But it starts off with Jesus doing what? He teaches the multitudes. Then he has a moment. He knows what the answer is, but he challenges Philip. He tests his heart. He said, all of these people are here. They haven't ate for days. What are we going to feed them? And Philip freaks out. He's just like, oh no. What are we going to feed them? 200 denarii worth of bread will not be even enough to feed them. What does Christ do? He does a massive miracle. He feeds 5,000 men, women, and children on top of that, and 12 baskets is left over. Then he heads off into the mountain. Scripture says, or in fact, in one of the other gospels says, he goes up the mountain, disciples goes onto the sea. We've dealt with the story. And then he does another miracle, doing what? Walking across the water. So now the crowds hear about all of these miracles. They see it. And they get fed a nice meal. And so he goes to Capernaum the next day. When he arrives there, the crowd's looking for him. Sometime during the day, they find him there, and they're asking him, how the heck did you get to the other side of the sea? We know how many boats there were. How did you get here? They realized another miracle has happened. And see the context now, and this is a good place to start. You can go to John 6:25. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me. See that word seeking? Seeking me. Not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. It's amazing. He's quite abrupt. It's like a friend saying, I know Dirk's got, they've got an amazing swimming pool, and it's like 36 degrees. I've got two children. They're freaking my wife out. And like, hey Dirk, ek mis regtig vir jou ou. Yes. Ons moet 'n bietjie kuier. Hoe lyk dit in die braai en terloops is jou swembad skoon? It's just saying that it's very hot in a summery day. I've got two difficult children at home that needs a bit of a swim, and I say to him, hey Dirk, I really miss you. Can we spend some time together? And by the way, is your swimming pool clean? Sorry Dirk, now everybody knows you've got a swimming pool. Enjoy summer. but nobody's like that here, so don't worry. But anyway, so Jesus sees right through. He sees motive. He sees the heart. I am the Messiah. We're going to see, I am the bread. And yet, you follow me, you're like, where are you? Because what? You want to be full. You just want some more bread. Not because of this, you saw the signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes. That's just something to take home anyway. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. Just in that, how many times we seek first in life for the food that perishes? How much of our ability to seek first in life goes for stuff that perishes, that cannot satisfy? Anyway, that's a sermon for another day. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him, God the Father has set his seal. So he just goes right to the heart of it all. You can go to the next slide, please. And I just realized this is, before we chat about bread, before we chat about Christ being the bread and we seeking him daily, we need to just firstly check our hearts for the following. And that's why I'm the first one to confess where my heart has gone to worship other gods, or where the enemy has tricked me just to give some of my worship during the week, not for my God, but for fear and other stuff. Because I just noticed that we are a people, we're blessed with the presence of the Lord. He was so here this morning, but it is as if our hearts are not 100% free to worship him, to dance before him. And it might be the case that our hearts sometimes worship other stuff. Back to the point at hand. Don't merely seek Jesus Christ for the bread. Seek Jesus Christ, the bread. Now, there's a very thin line between the two, but yet it's a massive difference. Because Jesus says later on in the gospel, says, yes, Lord, but we did miracles in your name. We drove out demons. We did a lot of stuff in your name. And he says, depart from me, ye who practice lawlessness. In other words, they operate in power. They know the Lord. They know his stuff. But they're operating it not relationally for what the loaves that they can gain. They wanted the bread. They wanted to be filled. They wanted to know, Christ, where have you been? How did you get to Capernaum? Why? Because we want the psalmies. We don't necessarily want the teaching. We don't necessarily want to be true disciples. But we want the psalmies. We want the bread that you can give. So before we even look at the bread, make sure that we just hold our hearts up to the Lord and say, Lord, have your way. Let us not merely seek Jesus Christ for the bread, the stuff that he can give, but let's seek him as the bread. And guess what? As you do the latter, the former many times follows. If you truly seek him for him alone, Edna said it earlier, that she probably thought of me when she came up with it, when the Lord gave her that word, but God works with me through promises. So sometimes a promise can be so great and amazing, but the promise can kind of just be in a tug of war with the promisor, with the one that gave the promise himself. You understand what I'm saying? Let me explain. God gives you this amazing promise. You're going to have a child. And later on, this promise becomes so amazing that you get fixated and that becomes your God. And then God becomes a way in which you can get to the promise. Not the promise just being a blessing, in a way that you can just more become like Christ and get to God. It's a fine line, but unfortunately I've seen it so much with the prophetic and the prophetic people is that, and we've got a lot of them, and I count myself as one of them by the grace of God sometimes, that the promises is amazing, but let that not become more important than the one that gave you the promise, the one that gives you, the one that is the true bread. Let's move on so that you can see Christ is the bread of life. John 6:28. Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, and I love this. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. That's the work of God. That is the work of God. If ever you've got nothing to do and you feel frustrated, because in our culture you need to be busy, busy, busy. I'm not saying let's be lazy or naive about these things. Yes, it's good to work hard. But if God has placed you sovereignly in a corner and you've got nothing else to do, believe me, I was there. It's quite difficult. Then that scripture was alive to me. Believe in the Son whom you have sent. In other words, what is Christ doing in this moment? What is Christ doing? What is he to you in this moment? Another sermon, another day. So they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Like, wat gaan jy doen? Wat gaan jy doen dat ons kan glo? Just challenges their hearts again. Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. They're like seeing Jesus, but they're constantly just quickly going through his bag, seeing, well, did you forget the Coleman? Where's the cool bag? It's not there. So they're just trying to find out, where's our Psalmies? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave them the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. If you've nodded off, please just quickly wake and then focus on this one verse. Take it home, make it part of your life. Seek this first. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Give us this bread always. Can they deliver it? Is it Tesco, Sam? Can they deliver it to my door daily? It'll work for me. I want that. Imagine that. A life supply of bread. Sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Just imagine the shock and horror. They're thinking, oh, here's something amazing. We're going to be sorted for life. This is loaves and fishes. This is all the way. The box is ticked. And he says, I am the bread of life. He just bowled them over, I'm sure. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Just to check. Everybody say, Jesus is the bread of life. Okay, just once more. Jesus is the bread of life. Amen. Now we know what to seek first in the morning. I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Moving on to 36. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. Moving on just quickly. 6:47. Truly, truly, later on Jesus speaks to them. I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. Whoever believes in this bread has eternal life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. Your fathers ate the manna, in the literal manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that the one may eat it and not die. I'm the living bread that come down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Say, live forever. Imagine that. This is a promise out of the Word of God. If you seek first the bread of life, you will live forever. Yet we work so hard for the things that perishes. If you seek first the bread of life daily, you will live daily. And you will live forever. I think I'll take that as a good promise. I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Now, we've spoken about bread before, so I'm just going to run through that because I believe there's something else God is alluding us in the spirit too. Obviously, bread here, Jesus Christ is the bread. The picture of bread is used in Scripture a lot. Name a couple. Jesus Christ himself. Okay, you're taking too long. Manna, there was manna. Passover feast, there was the unleavened bread. And after the Passover feast, they'll have for 7 days have the unleavened bread in memoration. And every time a picture of bread is given, it's for a very specific reason. God uses pictures to what? Speak to us. And today we're going to look at bread as what? A picture about Christ. What is the bread in the specific context going to tell us about Christ? Because that's going to help us to understand Christ and how to take him in. Because what we want to? Eat the bread of life and live forever. Spiritually, by the way. We're not starting some new movement. Relax. Please don't post on Facebook yet. It's just to live spiritually forever. I think Ralph had flashbacks of the wedding of yesterday just now. When you are in here, it's not any Bible, friend. Bread, just quickly, the picture of bread, what does it tell us? It's a staple food. Everybody can have it, and it's a basic necessity in most cultures. Likewise with Christ be. It's a basic necessity, not for much cultures, for all cultures. Just the basic food group and sample. Why speak about bread? Bread is a synonym just for food in totality. Bread's basic, but it can sustain a human being for quite a while. Bread, as I said, also played a big part in the Jews' Passover. What was the Passover meal? The blood of the lamb was put to the doorposts, so that obviously the angel of death could pass over the people of Israel, which he did. And after that, they dedicated that time each year. They commemorated that, and they had a lamb, and then they had the unleavened bread with it. Unleavened bread, I believe, is again a picture of Christ, his blood and his flesh. So God just speaks to us through that picture again. And then at the end, obviously for 40 years, what did the Israelites have in the desert for 40 years? They had manna. Yes. No jokes now. But they had manna. Manna speaks to us again. What? Manna is bread. A bread, ready substance that God uses as a picture to refer to Christ. I'm just quickly running through this, but what is the things out of the manna that we could learn of Christ of today? Christ of the new covenant. What is the things of the manna? You needed it daily. Cool. Now we can just quickly tick the seek first boxes. How this puzzle piece is coming together. The manna they needed daily. What else can you guys tell me about manna? It was supernatural. It came from heaven. Wow. Where did Jesus, the bread of life, come from? What did John 6 say? A couple of times? From heaven. What else can we remember about manna? You couldn't keep it for the next day. Chris is a good steward, so you would have thought of a way to keep it for the next day, but you couldn't. Chris couldn't even keep manna for the next day. That's a thing that we can learn about Christ. The living bread is something that we can tick. Yes, I can have amazing time now in church. I can have amazing revelation. Can have a lot of Christ today. But I need to connect with him tomorrow again. I need some fresh bread tomorrow again. Anything else that you guys can remember of the manna? Not only can you keep it for the next day, but you can only take for today because enough. And you needed to do it. Yes, that was the thing. God's command was, you need to pick it up early in the morning. When is a good time to see God first? Early morning. Early morning. There's a couple of, one can call that conviction giggles. There was a couple of conviction giggles there. Yes, manna, thank you from Johan for pointing that out. You can go to the next slide to see if we've missed anything. Next slide, thanks. Manna was a picture of a food to come, could only be kept for a day, had to seek first the manna in the morning, could only gather enough for one day, and it was fresh for one day only. The expiry date was quite short. Exodus 16:4 says, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you. Beautiful picture, physical picture of a spiritual reality of Christ one day. I give you now manna, one day I will rain and give my son as the living bread to you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day. Maybe a nice spiritual picture to us today of what should we do with the living bread, Jesus Christ today. gather it in the morning daily. What was that thing I sent to the men's Monday group the other day? If I don't have quiet time or time with Christ for one day, I notice it. If I don't spend time with the Lord for 2 days in a row, my family notices it. If I don't spend time with the Lord 3 days in a row, the world notices it. Now, that's something that somebody came up with, but I believe it to be true, because I can so see it in my life. In fact, I'm on day one, my family can see that I've not spent time with the Lord. So yes, we can learn a lot from manna. Go out and gather the day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. So there's a lot. There's one other picture, beautiful symbolic place in which bread is used in the word, referring to Christ, but I'm going to come back to that just now. I believe it to be really important for us today. So we looked at what the bread is. The bread is the bread of life. It's Jesus Christ. And we said now, just quickly, why do we need to seek first the bread? Why do we need bread? I like things practical. What did we say? You can go to the next one. Thanks. It's just to stay alive. Guys, you're Christians. If you don't take in your daily Christ, spiritually, you're going to drop dead. Or the wheels are going to come off, and then we need to get in reinforcements. And we need to get suss out the situation and put you on a drip and get you out. You need the bread of life. You need Jesus Christ to grow. You need to seek Him first to grow. And then life and life in abundance. You know, John 10:10 says, the devil comes in to kill, steal, and destroy. We see, obviously, unfortunately, a lot of that in this world. The enemy comes in to kill, steal, and destroy. What Jesus came to, the word says, give life and life in abundance, or life and life more abundantly. Some translations say this. I don't always have life and life in abundance. Yes, it grows, but I want more. And I'm sure that there's a definite connection, a parallel to be drawn between the amount of seeking first and eating the fresh bread, the fresh manna that is Jesus Christ, His Word, His truth, His Spirit. We'll get to that now. And the way in which I experience life and life in abundance. If ever you get to a moment where saying, I feel like death warmed up, you've probably not had fresh bread in a while. Moving on. I like things practical. Daily fresh bread. I'm quickly giving two legs to this. I believe that practically we need daily fresh bread. We need to get some of Christ in our lives, both personally, some alone time, me, myself, and I and the Lord, having bread, having manna first thing in the morning. But I believe there's a place where we need it corporately as well. There's a place where God divinely ordained it to such a degree that within community you need that as well. Because He's given us a body. He's called forth His bride, and you're not His bride on your own. We all form part of this body. Just very practically, guys, how would you be going about eating Christ? How will you have this on a daily occasion? Just quickly, shout out what you think. Quiet time? Yes, a quiet time, as long as it's not too quiet. Meditation on the Word of God. What else? What's the ways in which the fresh bread of God I can get into, of Christ, I can get Him out? Yes? Journaling? Yes. Writing down whatever the Lord's doing in your life. It's powerful. Obedience? Yes. Definitely obedience. But when He lays something, He says, if you love me, you'll obey me. Point blank. Not if you think it's an awesome idea, or if you get 16 likes on Facebook, then do it. No, no, He says, if you love me, you'll obey me. And that is food unto you. You receive those food. You take in Christ by faith, by believing His Word, believing His promises. The way in which I know that I can get Christ into my system is through His Holy Spirit. The Helper, it's the same Spirit. Christ's Spirit is the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit is the Holy Spirit. So it's Christ with me, the hope of glory. Emmanuel, God with me, constantly. So in just being in fellowship with Him, that helps us out. So Word, Spirit, worship, and fellowship, we said. Now a problem that I've noted in Spitzia Ura, a problem that I've noted, who of you guys Remember, we're talking, let me just quickly recap. We're talking about seeking first. We're saying today, we need to seek first fresh bread. Who's the fresh bread? John 6 says to us, it is Jesus Christ who came down from heaven. That's the fresh bread. Now, God uses bread as pictures throughout the Word to teach us stuff out of the Old Testament, pointing the finger at Jesus Christ. And we're learning from that to know how to take Him in, how to understand this picture of making Christ my food. Sounds weird, but making Christ my food. We're going to come back to another picture of bread just now. But a problem that I foresee is this. Who of you have ever been through a season where you pray, you read your Bible, you come to church, you go to small group, but you leave the place or you constantly feel unfulfilled? You've not had food. It's like going to an amazing restaurant and licking an empty plate, paying a bill and going home. It's just not a good idea. Who's ever had a season like that? A lot of you guys. Hopefully nobody's having that moment this morning. If so, let's pray afterwards. Who of you have read parts, big sections of the Bible, but have not been filled, have not had the bread? Anybody? It has happened. Who's prayed, but nothing has happened? You've not been fed through the process. It's quite interesting, isn't it? And it, for me, is a bit of a problem. Because you can come to church, you can tick the box, you can go to small group, you can do all kinds of things. You can have early morning times with the Lord, religiously for a half an hour, 15 minutes this, 15 minutes that, hour this, hour that, but you can walk out there dry as a bone, not being refreshed, not being filled, and not being filled up like with fresh bread. Who says that's a bit of a problem? Who agrees that's a bit of a problem? And I believe you get big parts of the body, you get great big movements and churches and places where people do a lot of stuff, but it's maybe not that people walk out there that they've been truly filled with the living bread. I believe the problem might be solved by looking at the last picture of bread used in the Word of God. Now, who remembers in the Old Testament as God through Moses and Aaron took the Israelites upon a journey of 40 years through the desert to the promised land, that there was this thing called the tabernacle. Who knows about the tabernacle? Everybody remotely kind of knows about the tabernacle. Though there was a couple of sections in the tabernacle and again, a lot of things within the tabernacle. Yes, that's a good point. Now just for the sake of time, we're going to run quickly through this. But there was a lot of things, a lot of specifics. God gave them instructions down to a T. There was a lot of guys working on it, Levites, the priests. They just had a lot of jobs to do. But every single little thing, even to the bell and the fruit upon the robe of the priest, had a picture for us, was a token, was something that God symbolically gave that looks arbitrary to a Western cognitive mind, yet in the spirit unleashes a truth of Christ Jesus today. It is beautiful, and we're only going to look at one, obviously bread. Where did we find bread in the tabernacle? The holy place. Yes, the holy place with the section just before the Holy of Holies, the one there to the furthest left. I'm looking at the picture right at the top. There was the holy place, or the inner court. Now, within that place, there was three things. It was the altar of incense. I had incense that constantly had to burn to the Lord. And you're like, that is just weird. Is this Thailand or is it the Yerev? It's weird. But it speaks of something amazing. And we're not going to even remotely scratch even the surface. But it's just beautiful. And today it might just, out of Romans, you get the scripture where it speaks of the prayers of the saints. Not once, just another quick skietgebeekie, the constant prayer of the saints. You guys, all of you, your constant prayers is symbolized there in the tabernacle of going up as this amazing aroma, the smoke unto the Lord. Another thing that was in there was the menorah. It's like just a kerstblokker standard. And that speaks of the Holy Spirit, and it constantly had to burn. Now, it's again, you can break that open. It's just a beautiful picture. And then, obviously, getting to the point we'd like to make is the table of the showbread. That had bread. You can go read in Leviticus how it was made very specifically down to a T. They had to put that bread there. and on the Sabbath it could be used, and then fresh bread had to come. Six on the one side, six on the other, 12 in total, maybe referring to the tribes of Israel, etc. Go look into that stuff. It will intrigue somebody like Pietri, but there's a lot. What I want to get down to is remembering the following. We're saying seeking first. We're seeking daily bread, being Christ Jesus. We're looking at pictures and symbolic things used by God in the Word, just making it easy for us to understand. And now we're in the tabernacle, a picture that God gave us in the Old Testament, saying, what can we learn about Christ, the living bread? Now that table was the table of showbread. And it's so beautiful if you go into the definition. And I believe that unlocks something for us. Showbread, if you translate it, is also the bread of the presence. The bread of the presence. Say bread of the presence. Just to remember that. It's bread that God gave there on a weird golden table, but I believe it speaks of Jesus Christ today. Jesus Christ, not only the living bread for us, but the presence. Who's not been ever changed in the presence of God? What is the thing that changes you concerning the things of God? Who's been blessed by the presence of God this morning in worship? Me. Okay, cool. Now quickly, before I make too long story about it, let's just go back to my problem. My problem was, you can look to the Word. You can worship, you can sing a song, you can stand here, Demi can just worship her heart out, but you can just maybe not be changed. Same goes for time in prayer. The problem is sometimes we can have stuff, and we can do stuff, but we cannot be changed. We cannot be filled. And I believe the key essence there is that the presence of God is not there. Now, quickly listen up. Don't want to make a theological or doctrinal issue here. Take this place as an example. Is God here this morning? Yes, definitely, because the Word says so. Where two or more gathered in His name, there He is. Firstly, secondly, the Word says He's omnipresent. The Word says, I can go to Hades, I can go to hell, and He'll be there. So when I'm saying that God is not present, or you're not entering God's presence, it's not a matter of that God is not here. It's a matter of I'm not sensing that He is present. Guys, please, just if you catch one thing, it's very important. It's a foundational truth before we can end off. It's not that God has left the building. He's not in and out, in and out. Okay, Retief is standing, so now he doesn't like it. He gets teed off and he just missions out the door. No, God is here. But it's just for my heart and my spirit to sense His presence here. Some people this morning even could have sensed the presence of God tangibly. Wow, He's here. I'm being changed. Thank You, God. I feel free. After my repentance moment, I just felt something lift. Yet other people might struggle with unforgiveness. Even God is right beside them. But if unforgiveness is keeping their heart blocked, they cannot sense His presence. So that is what we are saying about the presence of God. Going back to the problem. The problem is, we might read the Word, we might do a lot of Christian stuff, but it stops short of the place where we enter the presence of God. We eat the bread and we spit it out. We eat the bread and we spit it out. We don't push through. There's many reasons why you might not enter, why you're not sensing the presence of God. There might be many reasons. But I think, unfortunately, we've sometimes become, what is the right word to use, Lord? Yeah, maybe apathetic, or we're not willing to wait. We're not willing to push through, so that which we are doing for the Lord and with the Lord goes through to a place where it's with His presence, the place where we change. Might seem like a fickle point for you, but I believe it's a life-changing point. If you say, I've been reading my Bible the whole week, and I tell you, well, what did God say? Did you sense His presence? Did something in you shift? Did it change you? And you say to me, no, I really didn't sense God at all. I'm saying there's a problem. Not saying you're wrong. There's no matter of shaming. It's just saying, then we need to relook this thing. If whatever God wanted to do through His Son is reconcile you in relationship and spending time and having manifest encounters with Him to you, and you're not having that, then that's a problem. Then you're not having the bread of presence. Then we're not sharing the bread of presence. If we're holding church, we're having a nice church meeting. We've got kif coffee. In other words, better than what we have. We've got nice seats. It's booming. There's masses of people. There's lights. There's smoke. There's stuff. But we do not enter His presence. We are not changed by Him. We have missed what Jesus Christ came to do. The bread of life needs to be had by all of us every day. But a part of that that we desperately need is the bread of His presence. 2 weeks ago, we said to each other, Jesus was God and dwelt amongst us, and Jesus came to reconcile us with God. Just to put what I've just said just in context, what happened in the Garden of Eden, God had fellowship. God, it wasn't a figurative, symbolic type of relationship with Adam and Eve. He dwelt with them. He hanged out with them. Like the two of you stay together in your home like that, God just spent time with them. And then what? Sin came and parted them. Christ came to do what? Bring reconciliation. Bring reconciliation so that we can be in the presence of God again. Unfortunately, I believe there's sometimes doctrines where the presence and encountering God gets ridiculed. A doctrine where God's presence or His experience of His presence is reduced, ignored, or even ridiculed is a doctrine of near-dead religion. Does that make sense? It's either near-dead religion or I'm just not that into it. You're giving God 20 minutes and He expects you to give your whole day. He wants to so just fellowship with you, and He's like, come, give me all the hours of the day. Come. I want to be like that small stream. Come, I want to give you life. And you're like, Lord, I've got 20 minutes. Or some people are asking, oh, when last have you had time with the Lord? No, I do it on my bicycle. Or I do it on the treadmill. It's like kissing your wife now and again while you're holding the hand of your mistress. Sorry. Our God is not mocked. That might sound a bit rude, but it can be golf, it can be anything, it can be money, it can be buying shoes, whatever it can be, but you don't hold the hand of your mistress while you try to kiss God. Sorry, guys. Then you're not going to have the bread of His presence. You're not going to have the fullness of Christ. Sorry, I'm just putting it bluntly, but maybe that's the way in which we can hear the point, and maybe from my own heart, but if we sleep around, don't expect the bread of presence and to be changed. And I'm talking about my own heart firstly. I need to hold up my heart to the Lord daily. God, what is the stuff that is also part me? What is trying to take the worship of my heart? The bread of His presence, the bread of Christ's presence. Last example before I end off is just, if you read the Word of God, just an example to simplify it. If you read the Word of God, just to know it and to quote it, to sound smart, but the Word of God is not leading you into a encounter with God, it's dead religion. You can spend hours and hours and hours like a Pharisee, and you can know the Word of heart, but if it does not lead to the bread of His presence, you're actually wasting your time. Whatever we do in seeking first, albeit your quiet time, albeit coming to church, albeit spending time with a friend as the Lord leads you, albeit reading the Word or praying, let's ask God, God, we want your showbread. We want Christ, but the fullness of Christ, which includes that we can have the presence of the Lord. How can I say that? How can I say that? Because if a religious spirit hears that, it'll probably manifest. But how can I say that? I'm not going to quote all the scripture. I've got it here, but we need to finish off. Jesus Christ came to bring redemption, bring us back to God. Go read Matthew. The veil was torn, and He could bring us back to God. What is the Word of God on the other hand? The Word of God, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. The Word that we have here, the Word is God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made by man. What am I saying? I'm saying you've got Christ on the one hand. His mandate and His job was to do what? Reconcile God and His people. The Word of God is Christ. Because at the beginning was Christ. In the beginning was the Word. So if the Word, if reading the Word, spending time in the Word, for instance, is not having the same fruit as Christ Himself, then we're missing something. If spending time in the Word is not leading me to the presence of God or encountering God, and I'm not saying hoender vleis rol rond, freak uit, you've altijd net sterretjies te sien, nee, not, but just the sense that, man, I know God was present. How do you know God was present? You know. That's the first thing. Secondly, if you look at Scripture, there's fullness of joy in the presence of the Lord. There's joy. If you're down and out, if you're depressed, you've probably not been in the presence of the Lord. If you've not been changed for 10 years, you've not touched the presence of the Lord. You've not had that bread. I'm sorry. I want to, with the Lord, give you a lot of it. Heaps and heaps and heaps, but you've not had it. You get the point. If we're seeking first, let's ask the Lord that it will be the fullness of Christ that leads us to a place where we have the presence of the Lord. And lastly, I said corporately, one thing is personally we need to seek first and have the bread of life, and secondly, corporately. Sometimes people get so disillusioned with church or community or ministry, whatever it is that you fellowship with. Firstly, because there's not fresh bread. There's no bread in the house. It's not Bethlehem. They come to church, we can have an awesome setup. We can have great guys with big smiles. We can have flat whites that are most worried. We can have all the right moves. We can have Facebook clips that you're just so blessed by it. But if there's no bread in the house, we've got a problem. People get disillusioned with the Lord and with the church if there's no fresh bread. If there's not bread of His presence. Now, I'm not going to be the judge of that today. I'm not going to be the judge of that. God's going to judge me one day if I've walked in obedience. That's the one thing. Make sure that you fellowship, not only church, small group. Is there bread of the presence? Is there living bread? That's the one reason we get disillusioned sometimes. There's no bread. Or second to that, unfortunately, in our culture, many times true. And with this, I'm really ending off. Is that there is bread in the house. It is a place of Bethlehem. But I've lost my appetite for this bread. I've just had so many other snacks of this world. I've just been holding the hands of so many other things. I've lost the desire to kiss my God. I've lost the desire to lay my hand on his bosh. What's that? His breast. I've lost that. So just summing up that last part. Guys, we need the fresh bread, the bread of His presence daily. And it's not a condemning thing. It's just saying, Lord, it isn't there. Please give it to me. Show me whatever I can change so that I can truly have the real fuel, the fullness of the bread of Christ. And then secondly, corporately, make sure that you slot it in where there's fresh bread. If there's no fresh bread in your small group, you be the one that calls on the Lord to be the fresh bread in your small group. And then lastly, guys, let's check our appetites. God, do I have an appetite? Do I have a taste for your bread? Remember the manna and Israel in the desert? They were so cheesed off and ticked off with the Lord, and they wanted the salmis, the cucumber salmis, and the meats of Egypt again. The manna wasn't good enough. And sometimes we get tested that with that as well. The living bread Himself, Christ, not always enough. Because we've got tastes and lusts for other stuff. May the Lord help us with that. Will you stand with me, please? We can briefly pray. Trust that God will take that home in our hearts. God, we thank You for the fact that You send Your Son to be food to us, to sustain us spiritually. Not food only for this lifetime, but food for eternity. God, thank You also that You are unlocking in our hearts just a place where we firstly realize Him being the living bread, but to have more of Christ freshly on a daily basis. And Lord, we just want to come and make that our prayer, Lord, that You will lead us into eating Christ daily in our life. If that's your heart, very simply just lift your hand and we just make a commitment. If not, please don't. But God, we just say thank You that You gave us Your fresh bread. Lord, You see these hands, and whatever is hindering, whatever is brought a block between having the fresh manna or the fresh bread of Christ daily or not, I pray that You'll just come and destroy that in our lives. Graciously and lovingly, we pray that. I pray for me and my house, and I pray for us as a church that the bread of Your presence will be in our lives daily, and that we will not only grow, but be a people of life and life in abundance. Lord, and then lastly, you don't have to necessarily react, but God, I just pray that You will come and sanitize and save our appetites again. Lord, nobody ever eats nothing spiritually. Everybody eats spiritually. But it's a matter of what you eat that determines eternity. And it determines what you eat on how hungry you are when you get to small group church or even your quiet time. I just ask that You will just redeem our hunger for You and You alone, Christ. Redeem our hunger and save our appetites where necessary. In Jesus' name. Amen.